Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Breaking Free with psychotherapist Lori Coburn. I'm Lori Coburn, and tonight we are continuing our discussion of the book The One, Discovering the Secrets of Soulmate Love by Kathy Freston, F-R-E-S-T-O-N. I really like this book because Kathy understands the spiritual connection between soulmates, twin flames, and the path to God. A lot of material out there decries soulmates as just a romantic fantasy, but my personal path has been to get back to God through my relationship with my twin flame and with other soulmates. So we will be talking about that tonight. You can call in with your questions, 917-932-8881. You can also go to my website, LoriCoburn.com. That's Lori with two R's, L-O-R-R-I, Coburn, C-O-B-U-R-N.com. Click on the Ask Lori button, and I will email you an answer later in the week. There is also a chat room here at the studio where you can ask your questions. We're on page 38, and I'm going to repeat a questionnaire, a brief questionnaire Kathy says about summing up the person in front of you, which helps us identify whether or not we're in a state of judgment about other people or if we are open-minded and seeing the good in them. Number one, go with your gut reactions to these, by the way. Do you see people for the most part as good or bad? Two, do you tend to trust what people say, and does your opinion usually end up being correct? Three, do you immediately zero in on a person's flaws, or are you more likely not to notice a wrinkle, bad grammar, or what a person is wearing? Four, do you find yourself only relating to a specific type of person, or are you more open to diverse people? Five, do you withhold your kindness if someone doesn't fit the bill? Six, do you tend to see innocence or guilt? Seven, do you expect someone to make you feel good, and if they don't, turn away from them? She explains, if you go with your initial gut reaction when answering these questions, you will begin to see how you perceive and interact with people. Unless you see everyone as having equal and distinct value, you are not operating from your highest spiritual potential. And if you are not operating from your highest potential, you will not resonate with the highest potential of soulmate love. That's something that's very important that A Course in Miracles talks about, and it talks about the total equality of God's Son. We are all equal, and just because someone has a different viewpoint or looks different from you doesn't mean anything. When you do your spiritual path, you come to the conclusion that nobody is better or less than anybody else. And until you can see that, you're not in a position in your soulmate relationship to interact without causing fights or trying to be better or one-upping even the partner that you say that you love. What happens in relationships that are ego-based instead of relationships that are coming from love and coming from the Holy Spirit is that even when we say we love someone, there's often a hidden agenda. And I'll use an example from my own relationship for that. Today I was talking to my partner, Rod, and I remembered a time this last spring where I asked him to go to the nursery and get me some compost so I could plant my spring flowers. And I said to him very clearly, I want compost. Please do not get me topsoil. Don't get me anything else. Get me compost. Because the year before, he had gotten me topsoil, which doesn't have the nutrients of compost. So I laid it out very clearly. He came back, and he got me the soil, and after I planted stuff, I said, boy, I'm not so sure that compost was very good. It had a lot of sand in it. And he said, oh, that's because the guys at the nursery said, if you're planting things, use this stuff because it's better, because it has more sand in its planting soil. And I was angry. I said, I specifically asked for compost. Then he got angry at me because I didn't appreciate that he went and got me soil at all. And we were talking about that today, and I was commenting on how he had made a special relationship with me, according to A Course in Miracles terms, in which it seemed innocuous, but he was expecting me to appreciate him no matter what he did, even if he did something specifically counter to what I asked. He still expected me to appreciate him because he went on a nut back in the spring when I said, when I was irritated. And I didn't get all frustrated, or I didn't scream, I didn't do anything like that. I just said, Rod, I asked you to get me compost. And he went on a nut, and I couldn't even talk to him. And that's because one of his hidden agendas from his ego is that I should appreciate everything that he does as a man, not everything. Rod's a really great guy, so I don't mean to exaggerate this or anything. But I did not appreciate what he did, the manly thing of going and getting me this dirt that was too hard for me to haul. So I should appreciate it no matter, even if it was specifically not what I asked for. And made pains to say, please get me this, not that. So we have these hidden agendas in ego-based relationships. Even when we say we love someone very much, if they don't do what we want them to do, or they don't express appreciation toward us, and I was mad too. I had a special relationship with Rod. I expected him to follow what I asked him to do, and he didn't. He did what he thought was right to do. And so we both were angry with each other. And that's what happens even in the best of relationships in the ego world. They are always based on hidden agendas in which we end up feeling upset, separated, angry, or fight with each other. And one of the best things I have found to handle that is A Course in Miracles, which really makes you undo all of your ego expectations and only see the higher self in the other person. In that soil example, my expectation of Rod is that he will be a partner who listens to me and with whom I can have a decent conversation, problem solve, that I can express my feelings, and he will talk with me and say, oh, okay, I understand that you're angry. You have reason to be angry because I did something counter to what you asked me to do. That's not the relationship I have with Rod. And every time we end up arguing, because he doesn't like talking like that, I'm a therapist, I've taught communication skills for years, and I would really love for my partner to communicate with me the way I communicate with him. Not happening. He doesn't want that. He, in fact, comes right out and says, I'm not going to talk the way you want me to, Lori. That's therapy stuff. I'm not doing it. Rod is a tradesman. He doesn't go into communication, feelings, or anything like that. So then I get really upset because my expectation and agenda is that my man will communicate with me in the healthy communication styles, on quote unquote, that I am accustomed to and that I teach and that I think are valuable. He doesn't value them whatsoever. So we both end up being angry at each other. And that is the definition of a special relationship in A Course in Miracles, that you get angry with the person because they don't meet your special expectations. You connect with that person because you think they will. You're special. I love you. I think you're wonderful. Hidden agenda is you'll do everything the way I want you to. And when you don't, then I don't like you anymore, or at least I don't like you for that moment. And so what A Course in Miracles has us do is forgive, forgive, forgive. Look at how we are projecting our own needs onto the other person. For example, when I expect my partner to talk to me in a certain way, it's because my dream is to have this wonderful soulmate relationship, and it looks like this. We talk like this. We have sex like this. We engage and share things like that. And when that doesn't happen, I'm mad because I have formed an expectation that is not being met. And so what A Course in Miracles has us do is look inside at what we are projecting onto the other person. Where we don't feel whole ourselves and where we project that onto the other person and want that person to meet our needs. So that's what we have to watch out for in any relationship, and it especially gets tangled up in soulmate and twin flame relationships because the intensity between the partners is so strong. All relationships are difficult, but soulmate and twin flame relationships tend to be even more difficult because the connection, the bond is so strong. Okay, continuing to read. She says, if I am at a party and I think everyone there is dull and not worth my time, I will most likely miss a brilliant conversation with someone who needed only the slightest opening from me before launching in. Everyone has something to offer. Once we set aside our judgments, all sorts of surprises begin to show up. You cannot know what the universe has in store for you, and clinging to a particular vision of how your soulmate should be can only limit the opening through which he or she will appear. Now, there's a lot of things out there that say, okay, make your list about your soulmate and all the different traits you want in that person, and then that's what you'll get on the list. You have to be really careful with that. I think it's okay to do that if that is your desire. But you also have to add the cautionary thing, okay, God, you know better than I do, this or something better, which is a line that I learned at Unity Church, this or something better. Because as A Course in Miracles puts it, you do not understand your own best interests. That's lesson 24. We do not perceive our own best interests. So we can say we want a person who looks like this, who talks like this, who has this kind of job or this kind of income, does all these different things with me. But what the universe is going to deliver to you is the person who is going to help you most on your spiritual journey. And that may not look at all like the person you think it's going to be. My partner, Rod, he and I have been together for 12 years. And when we got together, I had the message from the universe, you are supposed to be in a relationship with Rod. It was very strange. I was getting ready for work at my bathroom mirror doing my hair, and I heard this inner voice say, you're supposed to be in a relationship with Rod. Rod at the time was my mastermind partner. He was just a friend. I was still married, but I was getting dissatisfied with my marriage and thinking, I'm only 40 years old. I don't want to be stuck in a dead marriage the rest of my life. But I was not going to have an affair, and I didn't. And when this voice said, you're supposed to be in a relationship with Rod, I said, what? Are you kidding me? Rod did not fit my idea of who I should be with at all. Not in looks, not in personality, nothing. But it's turned out that he has been one of the biggest gifts I have ever been given in my entire life. We have a wonderful relationship. We still fight. We have our issues. But our relationship has been dedicated to spiritual growth. And he and I have both grown so tremendously and have shed so many ego traps that the quality of our lives, the quality of our connection to God has increased dramatically. And both of us are so grateful to each other and attribute our growth to each other and to our relationship. So be careful with those lists. Okay. Kathy continues, this is on page 40. At every moment, in every split second, spirit is revealed or spirit is concealed. We know from every spiritual tradition, the fundamental truth is that spirit or love underlies everything. In God's eyes, we are all perfect. A Course in Miracles puts that as every day we make thousands of choices, and every one gives you either heaven or hell. There's no compromise between the two. A Course in Miracles says this world is an illusion. And when we believe in this world, and really when we attach to anything in this world, we are keeping ourselves in hell. But we don't have to judge ourselves for our attachments. All we need to do is forgive them, turn them over to the Holy Spirit for its purpose, and just let go. Because it's okay to like things in the world. We just don't want to take this world too seriously. And that includes our relationships. Although when we are in soulmate twin flame relationships, that's pretty hard to do because we get really pulled in and we get really attached. But it's the undoing of these very attachments and all of our emotional ties and connections in them that then leads us to true heaven within ourselves. And ultimately, we become our own twin flame when we connect to the love we have that we are, the love that we are, as well as the love that we have for everyone and everything. Okay, when she says, in God's eyes, we are all perfect, this is not to say you shouldn't pay attention when you are hurt or angry at someone's behavior and express yourself in a responsible way. Do allow yourself to experience whatever feelings arise and then choose to be loving in the most appropriate way. Of course, we need not hang around for something that is abusive or harmful. Being loving starts with taking care of ourselves. And that is true. A lot of people will say, well, if I forgive this person, do I have to stay in this relationship or do I have to like this person? Absolutely not. You do not want to stay in a relationship that is physically abusive at all. And you don't need to stay in a relationship that is emotionally or verbally abusive. However, in the relationships that are emotionally or verbally abusive, you want to look and see what parts of you might be projecting victimhood, projecting a sense of you don't love me or I'm not lovable or I deserve to be treated this way. Because as you gain in self-esteem and as you gain assertiveness and as you stop tolerating being treated that way, often the other person will stop it also, but not always. You can grow and the other person can completely stay abusive. And in that case, you want to get out of the relationship. But A Course in Miracles cautions us, as does psychotherapy practices, saying, look, if you don't grow yourself and learn to love yourself, learn to stand up for yourself, learn to not be a doormat or a victim, you're just going to pick somebody else that's going to do it to you all over again. So the main work is to look at your own issues first, and then you leave. You leave from a place of strength, not a place of victimhood. Kathy writes, we serve ourselves well by recognizing that whoever stands before us, be it husband, girlfriend, criminal, or boss, is a manifestation of spirit. They may seem benign or menacing, but we are all, at our center, made of this very same stuff. And that is true. I got an email, or a series of emails from a woman once, in response to my book, Breaking Free, How Forgiveness and A Course in Miracles Can Set You Free. And she was saying, well, I don't choose to forgive these sociopaths. I've been with a number of sociopath men, and there is no divinity in them whatsoever. And I wrote to her and said, yes, there is. Even with sociopaths, there is a spark of divinity. However, it's very, very dim, and it's usually not a wise idea to engage with sociopaths at all. And I agreed with her on that point. However, I disagreed with the point that there is no light in them whatsoever. Well, she wrote back to me, and she was extremely angry, saying that I just didn't get it, and that she needed to spread the word about how evil and awful and terrible these sociopaths were. And the thing that I think she was missing was that as she needed to get all up in an uproar about these sociopaths, she wasn't looking at the part of her that was still blaming herself for having gotten involved with them. She still hadn't forgiven herself, or she wouldn't have had to be in a rage about them. If she had forgiven herself and said, whoa, boy, did I ever hate myself to put myself in a position to be hurt by these types of people, if she had forgiven herself, she would have let it go, because there's always going to be sociopaths out there. So I was not saying she should be in a relationship with these guys. I was just saying, you need to forgive this guy and forgive yourself. And she just wanted none of that. She wanted to stay a victim, and she wanted to continue blaming them. And as long as we are in either of those stances, victim or persecutor, we cannot be whole. And we will often trade those roles with our soulmate or twin flame. We'll trade roles of victim, persecutor, or say if we have a partner who is sick or debilitated with some type of addiction or problem, we may even move into rescuer, like the spouse of an alcoholic or an addict. We'll move into rescuer, and then if they don't change, then we move into persecutor. And then if they hurt us or spend all our money or get on a drunk and yell at us, then we move into victim. So there's this triangle called the rescuer, persecutor, victim triangle. And we switch back and forth among all those roles, and we trade roles with our partner. And as long as we are doing that, we're completely stuck in the ego, and we will not grow. We have to take complete responsibility for being whole, for loving ourselves and loving everybody, loving ourselves and forgiving ourselves for getting in these crummy situations. And that is the only way we grow. It always comes back to looking within ourselves. So if you're blaming anybody, and if you're vehemently blaming anyone, like, for example, I vehemently blamed my twin flame for almost 20 years. I was a total victim. If he hadn't, you know, done what he did, if he hadn't run away, if he had been more strong, if he had been as strong as I was, if he, and I stayed in that circular trap of blaming him for 20 years. What a mess I was. I was a complete mess. I was a complete victim. And as long as I was blaming him, I was depressed. I was depressed, and I didn't even know why. I was trying to forgive him, but trying didn't cut it. It wasn't until I said, you know what? I have got to stop blaming him completely. Not one speck, not one iota. And from the time that I said that, I have got to stop making him wrong, to the time when I truly stopped making him wrong completely instead of just partially, it was almost 7 years. That's how long we will stay stuck in our egos and stuck in our insanity, in our anger and depression and blame and rage. And that's how strong and powerful these twin flame soulmate relationships can be, because these bonds with these other people tug at us so deeply, at such a deep level, that they are going to pull out everything in us that needs healing. And it was very clear that I needed healing from anger and depression and rage that I projected onto him. Guess what? He was full of rage. He was a rageaholic. He was depressed. He had all these problems. So I could focus on him, just like the woman who emailed me and said, it's the sociopaths who are the problem, not me. I kept saying, it's him that's the problem, not me. And it wasn't until I took responsibility that I healed. Kathy writes on page 42, we can only move in one direction at a time. Try to walk forward and step backward at the same time. It's impossible. In much the same way, it is impossible to act lovelessly and still move in the direction of joy. We simply can't do both. As tempting as it is to judge your partner or potential partner as inadequate, every time you do, you limit your own experience of love. Does this mean we are required to love everyone despite their behavior? Ultimately, yes. Does it mean we have to go on a date, commit to them, or share a life together? No. An explanatory note here about love. What is love? Love does not necessarily mean touchy-feely feelings. Your heart might not warm to somebody, but when you love them with the basic love of God, which is generalized to everyone and everything, you accept them the way they are. You recognize their sovereignty. You give them room to be who they are. And you don't lord it over them or think that you're better than them. Love is equality. Love is not, I'm better than you. And see, that's another thing that I had to look at in myself. I had to heal of my arrogance and superiority. It was very easy with my twin flame because I had done a lot of emotional work and a lot of brave stuff that he didn't do. It was very easy for me to say, look at you. Look at you. You're not brave. You're not strong. And I am. You don't understand what's going on with you. I do. Which, of course, was a crock. I didn't. I was blind to my own stuff. And so I kept praying, God, would you get this man out of my head, out of my being? Even when we weren't seeing each other, I was just still consumed and obsessed with blaming him. And I couldn't stop. Well, God in his wisdom did not take this man out of my heart and my head until I forgave. And then, even then, he wasn't out of my heart because now, with forgiveness, I have just love left for this man. I have so much gratitude and so much love that the psychological soul level connection continued until my work was done with total love and total forgiveness. And what Kathy says in this book, what we have been reading in previous weeks, is that magnetic bond that you have with your twin flame or your soulmate has to be that strong for you to have this compelling reason to stay with the relationship, stick it out until it's healed. Now, in my case, he left physically, and that's why I was so furious with him. But it didn't matter that he left physically, because psychologically, emotionally, on the soul level, we are so tied together, and that's what it means about being a twin flame or a soulmate. You are so connected to that person that it doesn't matter if they're physically gone. You are going to be connected to that person, and unless it's healed between you, even if you aren't thinking about that person all the time like I was, it's still going to affect your healing. It's still going to affect your physical health, your mental health, your spiritual journey. You can't grow while there is something major unhealed between you and your soulmate or your twin flame. It's just not going to happen. We have to forgive every single thing, or we won't become our own higher selves. So it was only through forgiveness that I healed. I forgave myself, I forgave him, and in A Course in Miracles terms, I realized that I brought it all on myself, And there really was nothing to forgive after all, because we're both innocent, and really, we are the love that we sought in each other. We have about 15 minutes left. If you'd like to call in with questions, the number is 917-932-8881, or you can write on the chat board, or you can go to my website, lauriecoburn.com. It's Lori with two R's, L-O-R-R-I, Coburn, C-O-B-U-R-N. And click the Ask Lori button, and I will email you later in the week with an answer. Okay. Only by behaving as if each and every person we come in contact with is an angel sent directly from God can we transcend our small self in favor of the big self. A Course in Miracles says, I send you only angels. Every single person in your life who is a creep, who pushes all your buttons, is an angel. And you won't feel that way about that person until you choose forgiveness. One of the good things is that we have help. We have our higher mind. You can call that the Holy Spirit. You can call that your higher self. You can call that God, Jesus, your guide, your angel, your wise mind, your divinity, whatever you want to call it. That part of you has already forgiven this other person. Actually, that part of you called this person into your life. It's not an accident that this person is in your life. This person is there to help you grow and help you wake up to your divinity. That's why this person is truly your angel. Okay, we're on chapter 3, obstacles. Love is always present, always available to us, but we just don't see it sometimes. It's like the car keys we search for everywhere, only to discover they were sitting on the front hall table all the time. Even though we direct so much of our energy into finding and sustaining the ideal relationship, it can seem to elude us. But it's not that love is dodging us or even holding out until we become worthy of it. Instead, we hold ourselves back from experiencing love. I really like what she's saying here. It's not that love is dodging us or even holding out until we become worthy. One of the traps in religious systems or metaphysical belief systems is that we really need to purify ourselves to make ourselves worthy of God or worthy of love or worthy of manifesting the things we want in our lives. And that the reason we're not doing it is we're not praying right, or we're not purifying ourselves right, or we're not getting rid of enough ego, or we're not visualizing correctly. And when Kathy here says, instead, we hold ourselves back from experiencing love, that echoes what A Course in Miracles says. A Course in Miracles really liberated me. It is a metaphysical thought system, but it goes beyond most of the other metaphysical thought systems that I have read. Because it says, look, when you're trying to meditate and purify yourself, when you're trying to get rid of your ego personality defects, when you're trying to do this and trying to do that, what's happening is you are not accepting the truth that is right here and right now, is that you are the Holy Son of God. You are the higher self. You are the Christ self. You are it right here, right now. And what happens is that most metaphysical students try to become their best self. They work really hard at meditating and being nice and loving to people and forgiving people and doing all that instead of just accepting their true identity. A Course in Miracles says there are two thought systems and they are mutually exclusive. The ego thought system is full of attack. And when we're in the ego, We are going to attack, whether it's in our minds, through our mouth, or physically attack. We're always judging. We are. That's just what the ego does. It always compares and judges and blames, feels superior or inferior. It's just what the ego does. And that's that chattering mind that goes on and on and on and on and on about everything we see. We're judging everything. Then you have the Holy Spirit's thought system, or God's thought system, or the thought system of love. It's a completely different dimension. That dimension of love is actually not really here. It's outside of time and space, if you can imagine that. If you can kind of imagine that around the entire cosmos or around the universe, there's this big bubble of love. And when we choose love, we're in that bubble. And then we can come and look at every single thing that's going on here from the eyes of love. And when we do that, everything looks different. Our partner who totally ticked us off 5 minutes ago is the most beautiful thing we ever saw. We can look at the political divisiveness and say, you know what? All the people are equal. They're just saying two sides of the same coin. I can love them all. And what you see in your partner is you see, wow, you know, that partner is just a mirror for the ego I thought I was, and I am not even that. It's just, if you imagine holding your hands out in front of you, and you've got your two hands out in front of you, and there's a ball in each hand. If you drop the ball, if you imagine that one ball is the ego thought system and one ball is God's thought system of love, the ego thought system of fear, if you drop that ball and just get rid of it, all you're left with is the truth, which is love. The entire ball containing the ego thought system of fear and attack and judgment and separation and separate bodies that take from each other and hurt each other, that is the complete illusion. And the only thing that's real is the ball of love. And the way we get to the ball of love from the ego thought system is the tool of forgiveness. Forgiveness makes us jump over and leap over and enter into the love realm, the love dimension, and it makes us drop that ball of the ego. And so when Kathy's sitting here saying, we hold ourselves back from experiencing love, it's not that you have to perfect yourself to be worthy of love. You are already worthy of love. It's that you don't believe that you are that self that is worthy of love. You still believe you're that ego. You still believe you're that personality who does some things really well and some things really bad, and is a nice person in some areas and is a really nasty person in other areas. And if people only knew what you thought inside, they'd hate you. That is totally the ego thought system. Who you really are is total love. And doing the forgiveness exercises or the workbook lessons of A Course in Miracles, and you don't have to do A Course in Miracles. There's other spiritual paths that will get you there. But it's basically about making the decision to say, I am worthy of it all. I am totally worthy of it all. And I'm not going to believe all those ego messages that say, I'm bad, he's bad, she's bad, whatever. I'm just not going to attack anymore. I'm just not going to do it. So we have the choice, and it's always a choice, moment to moment, to choose love over fear. Continuing to read on page 46, we turn love away when we hang on to old behaviors and beliefs based on fear and distrust. Our charge, then, is to familiarize ourselves with the internal terrain of our defense mechanisms so we can dismantle them. We can only go so far by superficial tinkering. If we want fundamental change, a major overhaul is required. This is where psychotherapy can help us find out where we're holding beliefs of inferiority or superiority or separateness, or that we deserve to be abused, things like that. And we can learn to change those and say, no, I am the holy child of God. I deserve only love. In the section under the ego, she defines ego as saying it's the instinctive part of us that looks out for me, mine, and my way. The ego is that part of us that declares and works to preserve a sense of separation from each other. Because the ego identifies with the I, the capital I, like I am this, I am that, I am nice, I am mean, I am pretty, I am ugly, I am successful, I am a failure, which is separation, rather than the we of unity, it stays very busy trying to make sure everything goes its way. Its only purpose is fear-based. It's to maintain survival in what it perceives to be threat or competition in anything or anyone outside itself. The ego remains oblivious to the fact that when one of us thrives, all of us thrive. And what happens is, say, for example, on Facebook, I have this page called Even Soulmates Get the Blues. And the reason I called it that is, one, because I want to write a book of that title. But two, I called it that because even in our soulmate relationships, we start out with this big, wonderful idea of, I am only going to love you forever. I don't care what your flaws are. I just want to love you and give to you. And that is the truth of our being. In the truth of our being, we do want to only love. And the love that we are when we forgive and we discover our true self truly only serves and gives and doesn't even expect anything back from anyone. But the ego takes over. And so all of our best intentions go right out the window. It's like we drop that ball of the love thought system, and we're only holding on to the ego thought system that then gets threatened. And so even with our soulmate and twin flame, or I should say especially with our soulmate and twin flame, because the feelings are so intensified, I always like to say with your soulmate and your twin flame, times a regular relationship's conflict, times it by 100 or 1,000, and that's how intense and crazy it gets. Just so crazy that if you don't realize what's going on and what you're doing to undo, to get rid of the ego blocks so that you can grow spiritually and become enlightened, if you don't understand that that's what's going on, you just feel like you're crazy. You feel like your partner's crazy. You just say, this is the most chaotic, nasty, crazy, fighting relationship I've ever had. And so it's really helpful to know the terrain, so to speak, to have a map and say, wow, okay, I'm not crazy. I'm working with a couple right now, a twin flame couple, that one minute they are totally in love and I don't know how I could ever live without you. I know you're my perfect vibrational match. I know that we are here to help each other grow spiritually and to bring all this spiritual truth to the world together and to support each other in that. And the next minute they're screaming at each other saying, we're going to break up and I can't take this anymore. Twin flame or not, I'm done. I'm just done. And it just gets wild. And so I've been working with them to try and get them into that place of love and calm down and to look at things and to forgive. And whenever they're mad at the other person, don't blame the other person. Look at your own self first. Look at what's going on with you. Take responsibility. And through that forgiveness, then the chaos calms down. Okay, Kathy's talking about we need to get to a feeling of knowingness or the feeling of at-oneness that opens us up to intuition or insight. The ego must be calmed down and quieted to get us to that place. When I was working with this client the other day, I said, okay, what do you know? Are you supposed to be with this man or not? She took a deep breath and she calmed down. She goes, I know we're meant to be together, because she was just threatening to break up. And I said, you know what? That threat's coming from your ego. You just need to know what you know, calm down, breathe, take responsibility, and stay with the place of love. So that's something that we need to do with our twin flames and soulmates. Take a deep breath and know what we know, because in the midst of all the fighting and the chaos, we completely lose it. And so we have to come back to our center. And we are out of time for tonight. I'll be back next Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Thanks for listening, and blessings on you all. Good night.